Chapter 3. The Birth of Rashi.
May Hashem be praised!
Rabbi Yitzchak's wife exclaimed, as he concluded his tale. His goodness endures forever and ever, Rabbi Yitzchak replied. As for now, despite the emperor's goodwill, I do not think it is safe to remain here in Shua. Who knows what new whim might sway him against us, heaven forbid. We must move to Worms, a few days' journey eastward. A few days later, they were riding in a wagon filled with their meager possessions. The red wooden wheels turned clumsily behind the plodding horses. Rabbi Yitzchak held the reins as his wife sat beside him, her hands folded in her lap. Shinoi mokom, shinoi mazel. When one changes one's place, one changes one's fortune. Perhaps this move would be the means through which Eliyahu's promise would be fulfilled. Worms was a gray, squalid town. The Jews lived on a narrow street where the shadows clung to the walls for almost the entire day. There, Rabbi Yitzchak and his wife gained the grateful appreciation of the townspeople, for, in their innocent piety, they stood up against an enemy of the Jews. There was at that time a Jew-hating bishop who plotted to gain the apostasy of the Jews. Often he could be seen riding down the streets of Worms to the Jewish quarter, his bald skull gleaming fitfully above his tonsure, his black robe flowing down to his heavy shoes. He would speak in the synagogue, and he would send his priests to preach in the streets and the marketplaces. The theme of his talks was always the same: the fanatic persuasion that the conversion of Jews to the Nazarene faith would bring about the Messianic age. Almost every day, his glistening cranium could be seen wagging in the Jewish quarter of Worms. Among the Jews forced to listen to his words, there were those feeble of resolve and unlearned in reasoning, who began to falter in their faith. Rabbi Yitzchak and his wife gathered the Jews and spoke to them of the simple faith of the Jews, the truth of Torah, and the glory of serving Hashem. Rabbi Yitzchak spoke to the men, and his wife to the women. The poisonous designs of the bishop were thwarted, and though he gnashed his teeth, the Jews laughed in their sleeves whenever he would preach. Then, Eliyahu's promise received its first confirmation. Rabbi Yitzchak's wife was blessed among the daughters of Israel. Within her began to knit the body of her child. The months passed, and all Worms rejoiced in the knowledge that she was with child. Every day, she would walk down a narrow lane to pray with the minyan that his birth and upbringing should be blessed by Hashem. One morning, she walked to the synagogue, the houses steeped in shadows. For a moment, she walked through a ray of light, in which dust motes danced weightlessly. Then she plunged back into the gloom. Even the sound of her steps was swallowed up. A chill damp that had continued for weeks seeped through her bones. She was walking alongside the brick wall of the synagogue. Soon she would be in the women's section, heated by the feeble wood stove. There was a rattle, a beating of hooves. Two horses galloped about the turn of the road, pulling a broad wagon. Who the hooded man who stood on the wagon, shaking the reins violently, yelling at them, "Gia! Ha!" Was it? Could it be? She seemed to catch a glimpse of a shining expanse of skull. But there was no time to think. The horses were bearing down on her, and the wagon filled the breadth of the alleyway. What would happen to her? And to her baby, who had been promised by Eliyahu Hanavi? With a cry of prayer, she turned her back to the alley and pressed against the brick wall. She could see the wild, white eyes of the horses, the spittle upon their mouths, the great hooves that beat at the road, kicking up clods of dirt. Behind them, the iron-clad wagon wheel was bearing down on her. She clutched at the wall. And then, something happened. The wall gave way. She pushed in, grateful, unthinking. The wagon rattled by and rushed out of sight. Weakly, she pushed her hands against the wall and stepped back. She was astonished at what she saw. The wall had bent in to fit her body, saving her life and that of her unborn child. Until recent years, people would still point out that depression where this miracle had occurred. There were those who now pointed in awe at Rabbi Yitzchak's wife as she walked down the street. Such attention was not pleasing to her and Rabbi Yitzchak. There were also Gentiles who exchanged knowing glances about the miraculous occurrence.
The Jewess is a witch, a practitioner of the foul arts.
Again, the Jew-hating bishop's shiny pate could be seen bobbing among the people of the street. Rabbi Yitzchak and his wife returned to Troa, where Rabbi Yitzchak resumed his life as a winemaker. One dark night, when all slept but the sentries and a few Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Yitzchak fell into a strangely binding slumber. In his dream, Eliyahu HaNavi appeared before him and announced, "I have been sent by Hashem to inform you that your wife will soon bear you a son. Call him Shlomo, for he will be blessed with the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech and will enlighten the eyes of the Jews in Torah. Guard your wife from any trace of unkosher food, for the child will be holy from birth. On the eighth day after his birth, be careful not to circumcise him until I come and act as Sandek, for I must give him to drink from the cup of blessing. Then I will bless him that the Torah remained engraved forever upon his heart." A few weeks later, the child was born. 8 days passed. Rabbi Yitzchak invited everyone to the bris. He himself went to the mikveh in the early morning and donned his Shabbos garments. In the hall, the Jews sat in their best clothing. Flagons of frothing wine stood upon the table, and loaves of bread, warm and steaming from the oven. "Just a few minutes more," Rabbi Yitzchak assured the guests as the morning slept by. "I'm waiting for a few more guests." Where was Eliyahu HaNavi? The sun slipped over the crest of the sky, and still Rabbi Yitzchak hesitated. Some of the guests began slipping from the hall. Others pressed him forcefully. Didn't he know the halacha? It was already mid-afternoon. Did he intend to wait the entire day? "Please, honored guests," Rabbi Yitzchak's face was dotted with perspiration, "bear with me." But the long hours dragged by, and more guests, angry and scorning Rabbi Yitzchak, left the hall. The sun was already hanging in the western sky, and only a handful of guests, impatient and angry at Rabbi Yitzchak, were left. Humiliated, Rabbi Yitzchak left the hall and ran to the synagogue. Throwing open the Aron Kodesh, he flung himself before the Torah scrolls and sobbed,
"Hashem, please keep your word that you spoke through your servant Eliyahu HaNavi, the messenger of the covenant. I know that I am not worthy, but may your compassion be stirred. May you pour out your great mercy upon me. Please do not let my sins cause your servant Eliyahu to stay away."
Rabbi Yitzchak washed away his tears and returned to the banquet hall. Just as he sat down, there was a knock. A servant opened the door to a poor man dressed in grimy clothing. Rabbi Yitzchak jumped up joyfully.
"Eliyahu HaNavi,
come in!" He hurried to the door and brought Eliyahu back to sit next to him. The guests murmured amongst each other. Who was this beggar that Rabbi Yitzchak was giving so much honor to?
"Bring in the chair of Eliyahu."
When the seat was brought in, Rabbi Yitzchak asked the beggar to sit in it as Sandek. Again there was murmuring. There were rabbis and honored men among them. Why did Rabbi Yitzchak choose this beggar? The infant was brought in, and with his own hands, Rabbi Yitzchak circumcised him. He filled a chalice of wine And Eliyahu Hanavi made the blessing, who sanctified the Beloved One from the belly. Before Berchas Hamazon, Eliyahu Hanavi stood up and spoke on the Parsha of the week, Terumah. He began by quoting the opening pasuk of the Haftarah, and Hashem gave wisdom to Shlomo. Then, he discussed the chapter of Tehillim, a song of ascents by Shlomo. If Hashem does not build a house, the builders have toiled upon it in vain. Perek Kuf Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. After Berchas Hamazon, the mysterious guest blessed Rabbi Yitzchak and the infant, and swiftly made his way from the room. The guests, nonplussed at the wisdom that he had demonstrated, attempted to engage him in conversation. One ran after him into the street, but the poor man was nowhere to be seen.